Well, greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered in the house of God. Another beautiful, blessed morning. The sun comes up and it's a little warmer the last few days. It's a great blessing to be able to gather with God's people. It's pretty easy to take those things for granted, and we want to rejoice and be thankful for that. We gather, think of that, how many times in my lifetime have I gathered and on a Sunday morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer and our Savior. And we do that again because there is no other way that we can gather. Any other way is we gather in our own ways, and the Scripture teaches us, except the Lord come and build the house, we labor in vain. So we're thankful that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And if He's not today, He can be. He can have full liberty in our lives from top to bottom. I'm very thankful for a Lord that has our best in mind. So let's, maybe we could rise together for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before you this Sunday forenoon with a thankful heart, Lord. We thank you for loving us and thank you for caring for us. Father, in the sense that you have given your entire heritage for the church, for your people here on earth, that we have no excuses, Lord. We are without excuse in this land that we live in, even though there's battles and that rage and onsets of enemies, that enemies' darts that press in, but we still have a victorious Lord. We have a Father that carries and has faced everything. And so we want to thank you for it. We thank you for being the Lord and the King of the church. Father, this morning we pray that you would hover over this place by your Holy Spirit. You would let the things be said that need to be said, Lord, and those things that you don't want to be said, that we would left unsaid. Father, you understand the burdens, Lord. You know the cry of every brother in this room. We don't know how to cry them at times, Lord, but you know them. And would you take them, and would you take them in the throne this morning? Would you hold them to your breast, and would you dish out your plan to the church? Would you bless your people? Would you encourage us? Would you convict us? Would you challenge us, Lord, of who we are and where we're going and what we're really after in life? Lord, we ask for your presence. We thank you again for this gathering of the saints. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Beautiful. Thank you, brothers, for sharing the messages there, the opening and children's lesson. It was a blessing. And continuation is things that the Lord laid upon my heart. If we can keep our minds and our thoughts heavenward, it'll help us. Some of the things that we talk about, they can sometimes seem earthbound or earthward. But may we keep our minds and our lives heavenward. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 85. We're reading that a little bit for some opening meditations. Psalms 85, it says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in their land. Verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give thee which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall be before him, and shall set us in the ways of his steps. This was a psalmist reflecting over the experiences of former mercies. David had, like all of us, have experiences in life. Every one of us sitting here, we live with experiences. And that's how many times we interpret life. And that's not bad. That's actually good. That's how we make it through life, is experiences. Thank you. So I was thinking, as I was thinking on this, recalling the former experiences, the former mercies, and David here prayed for the continuation thereof. I have a few things that the Lord has been laying on my heart for some time. The title of the message I would like to title today is Trademarks of a Drifting Church. And I know that when you say drift or drifting church or apostasy, automatically everybody's thinking. And I think that's good. We should engage each other to be thinking. But trademarks would be signs, tells, or trademarks of a drifting church. The word drift is not necessarily a Bible word, but backsliding and coldness and indifference and those type of things are. You can find this pattern through the scripture. Backsliding. And so with that in mind, as we're thinking about that, as we think, we'll be able to add some things, we'll be able to take some things away. And I'd like to invite us to do that. This is not all-inclusive. A few trademarks that I think about, we could add and take away. Maybe they're not as important. They won't be as important to you. There may be another one that's more important, or another two or three of avenues of deception, of drift. But we're going to look at a few from what I've looked at and studied a little bit in my own life. This subject, a subject like this, requires an honest heart. And many times when we gather before God and we gather before the Word of God, we already have everything planned. We're convinced that we're okay. And that's okay. We need to be secure in Christ. But we need to have an honest heart a lot of times when we look at life and where we're going. It's a blessing for us to sit back at times and just think about where I'm going. Do I hear what I'm saying? Listen what I'm thinking. It's a blessing. That isn't condemning. But if that uproots us, let it do that healthily for the glory of God. That God in heaven wants to put a finger on my life. He wants to put fingers. He wants to lay his gentle finger upon our life and guide us and lead us. You know, he wants to guide us with his eye. He doesn't want to guide us with a stick. That's not our God. He likes to guide. You ever see children being guided by their father's eye? It's a blessing. Why did he do that? Well, because somebody had his eye on him or her. May we be guided by our Father in heaven, by his eye. You know, the honesty of this, then we can willingly change something when we're honest. Looking at this message a little bit has caused us to look over our lives and to evaluate and to look. Have we been becoming more Christ-like, more God-like, more gentle, more distinct and different from this present evil world? In doctrine, in the way we think, and in our practical lives, it's inseparable. It cannot be separated. One of the greatest deceptions of drift is that we become so self-sufficient that we just could never drift. We could never move away from truth. Or we're just too proud to sit back and take a look at life and be honest with God and ourselves and our brethren, our families. This is the two deceptions. There's others maybe. Now this message today, I was thinking, I was battling between two messages. I'd like to share another message, the trademarks of the kingdom of God. So it could finish a little unsettling. It could finish a little undone, but Brother Dan covered it. There's another message. This is not finished, but this is where we're living. We're living in the kingdom of God here on earth, going toward eternity. And I was richly blessed with Dan's exhortation. You know, this subject calls for a continued eternal vision. A continued eternal vision. So if it finishes a little undone, I would like to have another message of trademarks of the kingdom of God. I want us to think about, a few things to think about. Church life, brotherhood, the Church of Jesus Christ is the pinnacle. It's the only thing that has any value. God's church on earth. You know, it's been said of a man, I come across this some time ago at a meeting I was at. Churches tend to do this. There's 3 points. Churches tend to become formalistic and focus on externals, slowly losing their love for God. The second point is that churches tend to have a strong mouth profession of being spiritual-minded, but become loose in obedience and application of principle and true spiritual life. Then the third one is occasionally you see churches that have good, solid obedience to Bible principles, practical in their application with a strong passion and love for God, personal holiness, and spiritual life. And then the fourth was, if I were to ask a question this morning, which one of them do you want to fellowship with? I'm pretty sure of the answer. 3. Now the other question is, which way are we headed? Or where are we going? We're going somewhere. We're never sitting still. Those are just musings, questions. Not all of this is my own thoughts. Some of these were borrowed. So it's good to do that healthily. Think with me. Engage our minds in with the word drift and deception. We're going to look at seducing spirits, and we're going to look at doctrines of devils a little bit. And then lastly, we'd like to look at some very practical things. You know, drift is not just something that just falls real easy somewhere. Apostasy and drift, it has a force to it. There's actually something pulling it. That's what we want. If we can identify that, a lot of times we hear, well, if you just let something go, it's true. If you let something go, the other force kicks in. It's a force. It's a power that pulls us. So we sang that song, and I was sitting there thinking, there's power in the blood. Is there power in the blood of Jesus Christ? There's power in the kingdom of God. Is there more power in the kingdom of God than in the kingdom of this world? There is. Yes, there is. But so the point is we must be tapped into that power in order to not drift. If that power becomes optional, the new life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit becomes optional, we'll drift. We'll drift. God help us. Thinking about that. The Bible word is talked about many times. It talks about men falling away, and men shall depart. You know, the word drift happens by power. It means also to float or be driven along by a current. And that current this morning is not always moving real fast. I want us to think about that. It's not always moving real fast, but it's a current. In fact, it never starts out real fast. If it would start out real fast at Ripley, many of us would never get in it. We'd just be alarmed. And we, you know, as the Niagara Falls there, we were there sitting there, you know, we were walking through some of those boardwalks, and there were signs, don't get in. If you get in, it's $5,000 fine. You know, that's how alarming some of these rapids are. You know, nobody's going to just jump in unless they're ready to kill themselves. But way upriver, where the current starts, is where the greatest air starts. Because when they come swooping down through the rapids, praise God, there's a redeemer and a deliverer. And he can reach out and rescue. Men have been rescued. I have been rescued. Who's been rescued from the rapids? We don't want to go back into rapids in real still water that's just moving just a little bit. Never, never, beloved. Yet way up in that water, way up there, there's signs that say, turn around. There's danger ahead. Turn around, there's danger ahead. And that's where the multitudes err. That's where I would long for the burden of God to come in my own life and deeper than it's ever been. That we would not err where the water looks calm, but there's a ripple and it's moving. That we would err on the safe side. Many times you will never climb in to moving water without a very clear warning in your life. Someone along your life's journey will be faithful enough to warn us. I've had that happen in my life, and I'm very thankful for that. May we encourage that, engage in that, allow men of God, allow the Word of God to warn us and share with us. That water's moving. That water's moving. No, it's not moving. It's pretty nice out here. Let's just keep fishing. Many a men. Let's pay attention to this. You know, just look at where stakes were in my life, in your life. When we get converted and we put some stakes down with some burdens and visions, where did we put them? Let's look at them. Did we move them? Did we take them up and we move them just a little bit? Because why? Ask those questions. Them were good things for me. You know, we pulled them up and we moved them for some reason or another. I would like to think of my son and I were listening to a message, Deceptions, in the past week or so on end times and deception. And the story was given that a banker, an owner of a bank, when he hires on a teller, you know, he takes great detail in teaching this teller what real money is. You know, when you're trained in that field, I don't know a lot about it, but I would like to be. We're going to turn that into a little bit of a spiritual field. When a teller has a hold of a $20 bill that's real, she knows what it is, or he knows what it is. They just know it, because they learned by detail what everything is supposed to look like in this bill. And so when a man or a woman comes in and presents to them a fake bill, they know it. Even if it's green and even kind of feels the same texture, they'll just reject it. They'll reject it. They'll say, that's not real. You know what? That's earthly. But God in heaven this morning wants to do that with us. It's God's people. He wants us to become familiar with the Word of God. That, you know what? That's not quite real. That's not quite real. You know, there's bits that are pulled out that are a little bit real. But is it genuinely real? And God wants to do that for His church, for the people of God. And then we can, that doesn't mean men are called to be critical. Not at all. But we're looking to eternity. We're looking forward to eternity, as Brother Dan was sharing. Moved our convictions. Sometimes we move our convictions. They're forced to be moved. Just move them a little bit, because if you don't move them, very likely we won't win anyone to Christ. Maybe some of us have heard that in life. Convictions are different than personal agendas. Always, when we hear that, we have to study the alternative plan. What's the alternative? If you were to just move your convictions, you're going to move them to an alternative. Just think about that. What is it? What's the offering? You know, God has a plan for the church, but so does the devil. The devil, the god of this world, has a plan for the church to become a social club. You know, that's the devil's plan. It's for the church to become a social club that primarily we focus on each other's feelings and emotions. Mainly. Instead of the Bible and the principles of the Word of God. And yet we care about our feelings and our emotions. We all have those. We must care deeply about that. But the focus of the kingdom of God is Bible principles that make it all the way to the shoreline. It's the focus. Beautiful piece there. Because, by the way, what we're passing on to the next generation is going to be what it is when we're off the scene. Not just too long of a time, many of us won't be here if the Lord tarries. Just think about those things as far as drift. May God in heaven, as I was thinking of this, may God in heaven put a deeper burden in our hearts, and not just in ours as daddies and mommies, as church fathers in here, but in our precious ones, our children. Young men, I'd encourage you to get a burden for where you're going. That doesn't mean you speak a lot, but it means that you stop and think about where you're going. Think about what you're doing. Just think about that. You're part of the church. In Timothy it says, despise not the youth. You know, don't let anyone despise you, young men and young women. No one. God has a plan for you. May that burden rest upon my heart and your heart. You know, the other question is, it could be asked, how does God look at a drifting church? That's a question. I thought about letting that unanswered a little bit. How does God look at a drifting church? But I thought, you know what? It's clear. If you read through the book of Revelations and many other places in Scripture, what is God's call to a drifting church? What does he do? He said, repent. The ones that were drifting in Revelations, he pointed out some good things, but then he called them to repentance. That's a beautiful, beautiful call. You know, isn't that a beautiful call? It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. So if we'd have to if we have to repent from something in our life today, this week, in the months to come, it's the goodness of God. We can repent. We can just come, God, and we can repent. And so many times it's as hard as tooth and nails. I just want us to think with that. Hearts of our children. It's a repentance from error. Drift is the big subject. I would like to turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. We'll read a few verses there. Verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, but if it be received with thanksgiving. For if it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And we'll just stop there. It goes on to say, but bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't say that you can't have bodily exercise, but it says it profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, I want to think about that. Having the promise of life and the now is and that which is to come. These are faithful things. These are faithful patterns to follow after in the kingdom of God. So when I look at nourished up in good doctrine, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a seducing spirit, and living in the umbrellas or under the pressures of the doctrines of the devil. You know, it seems difficult thoughts, but as I look at that, you know, the Apostle Paul was in the harness of God, and he was instructing Timothy. He was bearing his heart to Timothy, because he knew that if this don't go on, we wouldn't have the church. I mean, the church goes on, but we wouldn't, if faithful men of God before us wouldn't have preserved and wouldn't have loved God more than this world, we're reaping the benefits of that. And I would say, children, many of you are too. Reaping great blessings of many dear prices that were paid. Some practical points of this we'd like to look at. A seducing spirit. It is a spirit that draws aside or entices from the path of rectitude and duty in any manner. By flattery, by promises, by bribes or otherwise. To tempt, to lead to iniquity is a seductive spirit. And a lot of times when you think of seduction, you think of immorality, and that's, I think we can do that. But I think in doctrine, I would like to say this morning, the apostle was concerned about the doctrine that Timothy was learning. He was concerned. And he said, this is what seducers will do. And you know, the most interesting thing to me as I studied this, I couldn't pull it apart. Every time you look at a seducing spirit, it's identified with a seducer. It's identified with individuals. And that's difficult. No one wants to be a seducer, but we don't have to be. You know, a seducing spirit, it's a bribery. Don't ever be bribed into some fake promise. It won't work. It's a lead into iniquity. You know, when I look at the word iniquity, a lot of times in the Psalms of David, he said, deliver me from my sin and my iniquity. I looked at that and I thought, what's the difference? You know, there's sin. There's a seduction that leads men into sin and iniquity. And iniquity here, sin is at its worst. That's what a seductive spirit does. It leads you into sin at its worst. You know, iniquity is premeditated. Premeditated. I'm gonna try to get that in a wrong way. Premeditated, it's enticing. So we could say this morning, anything that is enticing us, we're enticed. We can be enticed by a good thing. But what we are being enticed by, if it's leading us away from the familiar path of duty and rectitude, from the path of righteousness, from the path of virtue and purity, it's a seductive spirit. And it's drifting. It drifts us off the path. It's a trademark of a seducing spirit. You know, a seducing spirit many times is linked with a critical, cold, insensitive heart. And that seducing spirit secretly believes down inside his heart that I have it all figured out. I don't need any help. I have it all together. And you can never truly hear anyone. It kind of goes in and it stops. It's part of a trademark of wrong doctrine. You know, wrong doctrine this morning, I was thinking, could seem a little shaky, but wrong doctrine this morning doesn't mean that we're drifting all the time. We can have a wrong way of thinking, but this is what it means. When something like that is brought to my attention and I resist it, Then is when we, I believe, is we become, according to some of the studies here, is we become involved in carrying a doctrine of the devil. Now, we could say, well, how would that be a doctrine of the devil? It's because when we take a truth of God, beloved, and we twist it and make it say something that the Word of God doesn't mean, it's very devilish. It's very devilish. There isn't probably anything more discouraging in life, and some of you can correct me, or maybe not. Maybe there's other things. You know, when the truth of God's word is redefined to a body of human precepts of some kind that never work, the truth of God is redefined. It causes us to start to drift. You know, thoughts like this. I was thinking, thoughts like this. You know I'm born again. I know I'm born again. And then on the same breath, but I know that there's some things in my life that are just not right. They're not quite right with God. And you go on like that for year after year. I want to think about that. And then we sing, there's power in the blood. It's drift, brothers and sisters. It's drift. There, God has a plan for us. He has a beautiful plan. That way is a wrong doctrine. It's a wrong doctrine. Very likely a wrong view of salvation. Think about it. What is salvation? Back 20 years ago, 20 years later, it's still the same salvation. It's a salvation of our soul. It brings us on to victory. Now this here, I also everything needs disclaimers, but I won't have time to do that. But this means that if we say we've been born again and we are sitting here, we know, you know, something's not quite right with my life. That doesn't necessarily mean you're drifting. But it means that if you're saying that and then there's an active pursuit to come on board, an active pursuit to go for victory, you're fine. Keep going. But when there is a justification to live where I'm living, it's drift. I've seen those things. I've seen those pressures in my own life. God is too precious. You know, at the end, that way of thinking, I'm born again, I know everything's not right. And at the end, it'll all wash out. It won't. It'll wash over the falls in a Christless grave. Right over. No matter the profession. I think that's one of the greatest dangers that we face is profession is so easy. Profession. It's so easy. I can say anything up here today. I could say a lot of right, hopefully I don't say wrong things. But profession is so simple. But living is the essence of the Christian life. Living. And it just blesses the kingdom of God. You know, drifting people are some of the most insensitive people you ever meet. Very uncaring and insensitive. And the reason that is because it all becomes about me and it comes about myself. It's all about me. But we all face that. But the kingdom of God is not about me. It's about eternity. It's about eternity. You know, then with this in mind, when we're drifting like that, that's why our conscience can become seared with a hot iron. Thinking of that in that same verse there. Look at a conscience that's seared with a hot iron. The question is, I think it's good to ask us who guides our conscience. Heard an older brother share with me. He shared with us as a congregation one time when we were out in a new part and singing one night. He took a mic and gave a testimony. And you ever have those nuggets that just hit you? And I remember when I went home and I thought, yes. He was an old brother, older brother, probably 40 years older than I am, 35. And he says, I'd like to just encourage you brothers, he said, that if God can guide your conscience, he can guide your life. I left home that singing that night, and I was a different man in many ways. It's a blessing to allow God in heaven to guide our conscience. not the world, not the dictates of seductive spirits. In this, look who's guiding your conscience. The next generation. If God is guiding our next generation, you know what happens? The next generation becomes more holy, becomes more godly, more wholesome, more modest, more caring, more Christ-like. And when you see that great burden, men can't help but speak the truth. You know, speak the truth of God in love. No matter what it costs them. One of the brothers shared earlier this morning, to have peace, you will do whatever it takes. You'll pay whatever cost it costs. You know, in this conscience situation, we recognize that we need at times different guidance in our conscience. But to allow, I'm talking about when God has control of my conscience. We don't need to be worried about that. God is, He is the control of our life. He made us. He formed us. So if we tell Him in our prayer time and we tell Him in our life, God, You can have control of my conscience. We don't have to be worried that He'll lead us somewhere that'll create us to be out of line. He'll lead us into holiness. So that's why we speak that. Because to keep a conscience void of offense. Void of offense. How long can I sit with a guilty conscience in life? How long? The Bible calls everything now is the time. We live in a day where now is the day. If we're under God's voice, under the owner of the Holy Spirit of God, now is the day. Otherwise, we start to become seared in our conscience. Our conscience gets numb. Cry out to God if it's not clean. Let's cry out to God. Young men, young women, mommies and daddies, cry out to God if there's something that seems right in our conscience. And God will clean our conscience. He'll give us a... But many times when He does that, He brings out a confession and a profession and a... Who cares what people think of me? I want to go on. The false doctrine and some of these things, what the Apostle Paul was working with Timothy was many times not because it was just all blatantly wrong. It was just the unfinished and incomplete things that Paul wanted Timothy to be aware of. Just the incompleteness of God's Word worked out. I had to think of one other thing. There is a doctrine that I'm sure that I have heard. I've probably said it. I wouldn't desire to do it again if I want to be accountable. There's a doctrine that says, well, all we need is preaching and teaching. Practical obedience and everything will just fall in place. It'll just all fall in place. As the turn of history, if we're willing to be honest and study history, there's times and places where elements of that work. But to use that as a doctrine, I believe it's heresy. It won't work. It's false in itself. It's incomplete. It's incomplete. So then when we resist it, we dabble with false doctrine in that level. And we'll drift. No matter how slow the water moves, we'll drift. It can move so slow, but we'll drift because of the doctrine. Now these are, again, engage your minds. I'm willing for communication. It's a blessing. God has a plan for His people. So those are seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. I think I'll let off there. We'll turn our Bibles over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. I drew a path yesterday. I came over here and I drew a little bit of some of the thoughts I had. It took me a little time to do that. I didn't want to take time today, so I maybe just expose that a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. We're going to read a few of these verses. The heading of chapter 3, it says, "The wickedness of the last days are foretold. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do also these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine," the Apostle Paul's teaching Timothy again. And this is how he's known, and he said, "manner of life and purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity and patience, persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Then he says in verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I like how the Apostle Paul, he's just given, you know, I think, well, that just is hard message to Timothy. But this was a good message to Timothy. A good message, because he was helping Timothy prepare for the battle. He told Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And you know, it's not easy. It's not important. It's not wise to make people mad by poking them. But the Bible says that, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And you know, it's not probably not a burning at stake in the Western culture in 2024, but it's a downplay of the principles of God. It's just downplaying the kingdom of God. Some of these things are very real. And Timothy and Paul knew it, and he was helping Timothy. But he tells them in verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, be deceiving and being deceived." And he just exhorts him in 14 to continue on in the things which I've taught you. So the burden today will be probably picked up a little bit more in the second message, but God makes a call to stay on course in the midst of a lot of noise. He does. He always does that for the church, and I'm thankful for that. So in a small way, I would just aspire to be that, to stay on course in our values. Paul instructed Timothy by clear definition of what departing looks like. You know, I was thinking, I can sometimes have my own thoughts, and they're not always safe, but there's clear definition of what departing from the faith looks like in chapter 3, in practical ways. You know, the easiest thing this morning, the easiest thing anytime when you're having family devotions, the easiest thing to do is to read something and think about. But I'd like to encourage us to read devotions and think about here. Think about here. Where are we going? What are you thinking, young men, young sisters, daddies and mommies? What are we thinking? How do we believe? It's healthy to do that. It's not scary. It helps bring a light in a dark world. I am very thankful. I'm very thankful for what God is doing in our midst. I'm very thankful. But let's take a look. Let's look at values that that have been forced to be drifting. Some of the things we see by observation. You know, when we think of the church, you see the word the church. You know, the church is drawing its strength from the kingdom of heaven. And I know it's a big maze. But it's been part of my burden for a length of time in my life. First, we see fathers and mothers with a vision. They have a vision for their families. They have a vision for purity of heart. They have a vision that would be lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure. You know, the opposite is this. I will try to look at, I thought we could do three or four of these practical points. I have some of it wrote down, but we may get through two of them. Pure in heart and chaste, holy. It don't change. Look at the value and the stake that mothers and fathers have said, there's got to be a different way for holiness. And there is. It's drawing power from the kingdom of heaven. But remember, there's seducers along the way. And you see, sometimes the seducers, the biblical part of truth is the seducers are not always outside pulling out. It's true, they are. But sometimes they're within. And when I mean within, I don't mean just Allen County. I mean within the church. There's seductions that pull out. They're not sold out for the fullness of the kingdom. And so that, I believe that's, you could correct me with that. There's it's biblical. They're without and within, the Bible says. Do we look for, we had these submissive children, obedient children, submissive young men. And the drift redefines it. We become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And obedient children become optional. And rebellion is redefined as a different character. As I see these things in my own life, it's a blessing when I can call them things for what they are in my own heart. And then there's a freedom. There's a blessing. So we'd like to look at that. Some of these points of drift. You know, the incontinent word there in chapter 3. If you look at the word, we could do a study in all those words, but you look at verse 3, incontinent. In that word for the passion to be pure and holy and just. You would say in spirit and in life, in practical life. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The understanding of this word or the meaning is this is a unrestrained passion or appetite. This is particularly to sexual appetites. It could allude to others. But this is unrestrained appetites, is incontinent. It is a violation of a divine law that God has in place. And therefore, we open up a door for impurity when we violate God's standard. You know, this morning, the violation of God's standard for purity is good for us. Don't chafe against it, young man, young woman, or daddies, mommies. I was thinking, as I looked over this, you know, we praise God for natural desires. We need to. We're thankful because there's a whole host that's unnatural. So we're very thankful for natural desires. But natural desires in all of us, in our children. But in small ways, if we give these natural desires, we give that liberty outside of God's perimeter. It becomes impure. And this is all by observation. It becomes unholy. You know, little things in life that create impurities can seem so insignificant at times. They're so innocent. Unholiness. Breaking down the protection between male and female. Just break it down. You know, we talk about purity. Primarily, we must talk about purity in fathers and mothers because that's where it starts. Daddies and mommies, being clear, being pure in heart. But then it goes, passes on to our children. The same call is for you. You will never be able to practice the same principles that we practice in our dark times and say we can spiritualize them. It won't work. It brings the same impurities. I want to think about that. You can never practice the same principles that we practice when we were in darkness and expect different outcomes. Practice same principles. Just think about that. Because the principles that we practice were unlawful. We have enough of battle and temptation without on purposely inviting unrightful interactions with male and female for purity. Protect our purity at any cost. I believe it's the call of heaven. Remember, the goal is purity at any cost. The goal is not laws, certain things you can't do and can do. The goal is purity. You know, this subject, I believe in God's church, in the church of God, have there's many a mommies and there's many a daddies that sit up at night. Sometimes they sit up late at night and they pray and they ask God for help and they ask for direction because they care about this. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking that not in the flesh, but if God's burden for the next generation and drift doesn't at times cause us to lose some sleep in toil, in turmoil, begging God, help us, God. And just purity is one thing we're talking about. You know, it's a burden for eternity. You know, we don't want something. We're not wanting to, you don't want to settle for something that's moving just a little slower than the fast world upriver. It's still a river. It's moving the same way. You know, the many times the corrections or admonishments that I have received, I've been tremendously tempted in my life to respond like, what's wrong with it? Why can't I do it? And I've been trying to learn that that's the worst way to respond in life. It's the worst way to respond. Let's look at that, the standard of purity. I have it drawn on the board. You know, you'll see young people here get pulled off the path. They have different values in work, in dress, in music, in purity. It happens. Is it? Let's evaluate it. And then when that happens, parents, many times, this is observation and also a lot some history reading. If you do history reading and you watch the observation of God's people, parents just follow young people. And I would like to say, I don't know if God would call the church home. I don't know if he'd suck some of them out of them paths or not. But we'd still like to make it a warning. The greatest place for parents to follow is to stay on the path and continue to make the call. Just make the call back to purity. It's the greatest place to stay. Though it won't be the most popular place. The standard is purity. You know, Jesus said, this is Jesus' standard. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then he also says that he don't leave us with any inclination or any loophole. He says, whosoever looketh upon a woman, you could go man too, and lusts after her has committed adultery in his heart. That's what Jesus said. And so look at purity in light of the standard of Jesus. Look at purity in light of that. Not church rules. They won't cut it. We have some guidelines that we do in our homes and our churches, and we're very thankful for them. But the reason we set them there is for that reason. For that reason, that we could make it home. That you don't have to go through your life with all them scars, all them difficulties. God has a better plan. You know, this will never happen The reason I chose purity, the next subject I'd like to look at is dress. A little bit of dress drift. But because dress is external, and that could be battled some. But purity is internal. Starts internal. So this problem, or this drifting problem, will never be taken care of unless it's replaced with a greater power. A greater power. And that power has got to come from the kingdom of heaven. It don't matter if we're 50, 40, 30. It don't matter if you're 12 or 13. The pressures are equal. The temptations are equal. But God has a power. Remember we shared earlier, some of the things that we care about, we put in place for our homes and our churches is to help us. But the power must come from heaven. So, young man, if you're struggling, ask for the power of heaven, and God will give it to you. The battle of purity is worth the freedom and the blessings of a clear conscience. The battle for purity is worth the freedom and the blessings of a clean conscience. Pleasure seeking is the next one. You could call it recreation. You could call it dress. Some of the things I'd like to look at is meditating. I would like to look at that the Church of God is always... Now, you could put Allen County. I want to be clear that we're not talking about a narrow-minded belief system. We're talking about a church that's going toward eternity. But the church has had landmarks, if you will, that have been tested and tried. But there's never been a shortage ever of young people to say, we're just going to do it a little bit different. We're just going to dress just a little bit different. And I would like to invite that to a view of drift this morning. You just bear with me. It's drifting. It's drifting. Now, the dress is not the final problem. I understand that. We were talking earlier about purity. But dress, beloved, can never be separated. Can never be separated from our lives, our identity. And I've thought of these things for a number of probably years, even in my life as a dad. And so there could be many different things talked about here. You know, a young man or a young woman, he just dresses just a little bit different than dad and mom. And I would just ask you to consider why you're doing that. I would ask you to consider it. From love. Consider it. Consider why we do what we do. And you know, I've looked over that in my life. I remember my father, he's with me today, asking me to not do certain things. And I'd chafe at him. And you know what the problem was? I didn't have the power of eternity. I didn't have it. I was in an identity crisis. Maybe you find yourself as young people or even a young generation. I think of young married families. Maybe where do I belong? Where do I fit in? I think sometimes it can fall down into an identity crisis. Who am I? What am I worth? Where do I belong? Brother Alan Troyer spoke to us one year at a seminar somewhere. Some great thoughts that go through the minds of people. Who am I? Where do I belong? And where am I going? You know, these things are going through your mind as the next generation. I know it. I know it. It's okay. No one needs to be condemned. But that's what's going through your mind. Where do I belong? Who am I? Who am I going to marry? What's my life going to be like? Those aren't condemning thoughts. But Jesus teaches us that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to your life, to my life. You know, a drifting identity is longing for acceptance, and that it's only found in Christ. It's longing. It looks kind of wild. It looks kind of alarming, and it is. But the greatest cry is acceptance and longing. I need some help. I need some help. You know, I was thinking that on this path, as the Church of God is going toward eternity, if young men... You know, I was thinking 12 to 20, I don't know, 12 to 30, maybe young married. if it's just kind of difficult, you know, I don't know. I don't, them men that are 10, 15 years older than me, I don't like what they do. If that's just difficult, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at what these, where these thoughts are born from. Because they will matter. They will change our values. And I believe ultimately they will change our destination. They will change it. You know, I was thinking, sharing some of these things. We have a lot of talks in our own kitchen table and living room. We have a lot of these talks. I don't know what all you talk about. But talk about it. Communicate. You know, I went to Ohio the other weekend, and you know, I was thinking on some of these things, and a father comes up to me and he says, "What do I do, brother? My children don't talk to me. They don't tell me nothing. They just do their own thing." I didn't have no answers, but I listened, and I come home and I think. But your children are talking to somebody, or they're watching somebody, or they're looking to somebody. Find that place, because it's drifting. If we don't get a hold of it, it's drifting. I would say an encouragement from our hearts, mimic your mother. You know the word mimic? Study her and follow her. Daughters, sons, you the same. Mimic your daddy, your Christian daddy. It'll bless your life for all eternity. I know these things seem very earthbound, like Brother Dan. I'm trying to keep us heavenbound. Because in heaven, there'll be clothes be irrelevant. And here it is, too, in that sense. But it says a lot about us this morning. Just a little less. You know, I had to think of our spiritual lives. I think of just a little less material in the pattern. It's drift. Just a little bit. I've heard the multitude of excuses sometimes that come. Just a little bit. I still use the same pattern, but I just take a little bit off. You know, God at times, I believe, calls men and women to change. And we've had to change things. We need to change. But there's only one avenue of change that's permitted in this kingdom. One avenue. It's to be more concealed, not more revealed. When there's more revelation and there's more revealing, it's not spiritual. I would say it would do us a favor to call it drift. It would do us a favor. We would just call it that, and then we could help each other. More material. And then again, when we talk about these things are truly a heart issue. A heart issue. Because to resist these values of the kingdom of God, we enter into an ever-drifting society. And we stare around on this earth and we make our judgments by everything around us. And I would like to say that us fathers and mothers, no matter which way you take it, we're responsible for it. We're responsible for this value in the time of dress. The best way. You know, some of the best ways that we've thought of these things, some of the things that we've done. You know, if you ever get a chance, do this honestly, not with resistance or looking bad at other people, but get a roll of calendars out. Just put them down, look at them, and it'll speak to us. It'll speak to us, beloved. Again, I shared earlier, we don't need to take time to make a bunch of disclaimers, but these things speak to us if we allow them to. They speak to us. And yes, we could say, well, don't focus on dress. I don't think I'm trying to this morning. I'm not trying to focus on dress. But we can't deny the part of living around it and dealing with it in a very applicable way. You know, then you have this, thinking here of You have parents and young people, and then you have, sometimes you have families. And I like to see some of this I drew on purpose, you know, you compromise. And some of this is just no values at all. And then you have the seducers that finally get hot feet and they run. But the church is pure. The church is not, we don't need to figure all that out. I understand that. But this is just thoughts and musings, okay? So we have families, we just lay it down. We get weary. You ever get battle weary? And you just lay it down. And when you lay something down, it's going to be replaced by an alternative. Mark it down. It will. And so it behooves us to not have our own agenda. But when you have the principles of God, you and I have those born in our heart, and we own them with our life, hold on to them. Just love them. Don't let them go because you're battle weary. Just look at your life. Look at my life. You know, our lives are called to be more concealing, not more revealing. More quiet, not more loud. More unquestionable. You know, it's one of the saddest things in life when mothers and fathers, they just give up. You know when they give up? A lot of times we give up when it's not seen. We just give up because of the difficulty of the battle. And then some of the other things are, you sometimes, you know, I don't know, ministers and preachers, they're just people. They like to give up too, you know. But we have an eternal purpose that we like to inspire us to. Don't give up the values that matter for eternity. Never. Never. We would be encouraged, I would like to encourage us to pay it with our life. Pay it with our life. It's the greatest love we could ever have for our families, for our churches. The greatest love we could ever have. Because the only thing that's coming toward the church is an alternative of pop culture. It's the only thing that's coming toward the church. Teaching the church very well how to drift. Just teaching them very well. Last point I'd like to make is for us as men. When men of God don't band together with the same values, the little ones suffer greatly. May we as fathers and mothers not get off the path and put the values of the kingdom of heaven on the balance. That are many times, as I shared earlier on the onset, that are many times dictated by feelings and emotions. And again, dearly beloved, the greatest love that we could ever care for our children and our people is to continue the course and to press on. It's the greatest love ever. To back away and to give up and to yield. To call us back together. Fathers and mothers, children, young people. Those things that we're grappling with inside, lay them down. And come home. Come back and receive of that power. Receive of that great power. And then, one of the last thoughts I was having, I was thinking of my short lifetime, I've known and heard of men, older men, that right at the end of their life, they just ditched and they give up. And so some of us, we have no idea where we're at in this kingdom. You know, some, it's not important. It's really not that important. Some of us are in the middle of families. We're growing, we're raising our children, we care deeply. And the world doesn't care. It doesn't. But the church must care. The church must care. The seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, they don't care about your children. They don't. They care about themselves. God's people care about each other, and they care about each other's children. And so at the end, at the very end, one of the greatest tragedies is battle-weary men give up their values right at the end Or you could say, just before the morning light. Just before the morning light. So this will be continued. My little bit of fear was it would be unfinished. Maybe sounds that way. But there's a greater kingdom. There's a kingdom that works well. And I would continue to aspire that. But I felt the need of sharing a little bit of this and the burdens of my heart. The trademarks of drift. Let's be conscious of it as a brotherhood. We can think of outside, but let's be conscious of what God is doing here. What God is doing here. Now, there could be work. I have a few thoughts on work and music. And you could add to it and take it away. You know, maybe one thought on work. If we're drawing our pressures from outside sources for guidance instead of the scriptures, then we're going to drift. Our pressures on how to manage and make money and how to do all these things, if they're coming from outside sources that are not in the kingdom, then we're going to drift. Our next generation will drift into, I would say, high materialism and a love for money. Just a thought I had. And there's a lot more could be said about that. So may God in heaven have his way. I sense a need to maybe just rise together for a word of prayer, and we'll close the service. Lord in heaven, we bow before you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, you know the faltering in my own heart as a daddy and a mommy and my own children, my own family. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with brothers and sisters. And we ask you to watch over the things that were shared. We ask you, Father, to help us as a brotherhood to evaluate drift and do it with an honest heart. Lord, we don't have to be condemned with the rest of the world. Lord, with young people and subgroups and different families, but one united army with one common purpose in mind. Father, deliver us from the social club belief system of this world and give us a heart for brotherhood. Give us a heart for unity. Help us to not just believe that preaching and teaching will take care of it, but we have to be willing to talk about what we need to talk about in our lives and our children and our families. We love you, Father. We ask for grace, courage. We thank you for each brother and sister. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you, and may God in heaven receive all honor and glory.